I want to talk about some times that have changed. But first of all, I want to express my sincere appreciation for the preaching that I have heard during this meeting. Good, sound gospel preaching. Be hearers, be doers of the word, and not hearers only. In the first place, Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. He said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to have all things whatsoever I have commanded you." In Mark's Great Commission, the 16th chapter, verses 15 and 16, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And every person in the world has the right to hear the gospel at least once, more than any of us have the privilege of hearing it twice. The gospel is for the entire world. In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, the Lord said, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and watereth the earth, and giveth seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void." Thankfully, we who preach the gospel have the opportunity to rejoice over those who surrender their lives to the Lord at the invitation when they come forward. And the days have passed and gone when they come in great numbers as they one time did. We can remember holding gospel meetings that lasted not 3 days, not just a week, but 2 and 3 weeks at a time. Some of you have never attended a meeting like that, but that's the way we used to preach the gospel, and that's when we were converting people by the numbers. I can remember holding meetings when we have large numbers come down the aisle and obey the gospel. Many of them confess their faults, and many of them to obey the gospel. I'm thinking of three right now. One at Washington, Oklahoma, we had 34 responses. In Oklahoma City one time, we had 34 responses, 17 baptisms in one meeting, in a cow pond. We didn't have to have a baptistry. We baptized wherever we found sufficient water. And that time has changed. We can preach the gospel, preach our hearts out, and not move a soul many times. And how sad that is. Now, preaching is God's way of saving souls. That's God's way. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it pleased God by the preaching of the gospel to save them that believe. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save. Now, lots of people might consider preaching the gospel foolishness, but that's God's choice. And the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that are unsaved. And sadly, the preaching of the gospel is not as important with some of our brethren. They're not as interested in seeing that the gospel is preached so that we save souls. And when we held meetings for not just a few days, but 2 and 3 weeks at a time. 2 and 3 weeks at one place. And that's when people obeyed the gospel. I'm afraid that there's a trend for some of our meetings become social events rather than opportunities to change the world. We need to stop and think about that. We need to realize that preaching the gospel is not a social event. It is a means of salvation to those who are lost and undone and without hope in the world. Now, the Apostle Paul recognized the need of preaching, and he pointed out that God had given him the privilege that he's chosen to preach the gospel, and not with words that were to be recognized as people being greatly honored and so on. He used language that could be understood so that people could respond to the teaching of God's word. He said, "It is the power of God unto salvation," Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. The power is in the gospel, not in the preacher, not in you and not in me. It's in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we who preach the gospel must always realize that the gospel is God's power to salvation. And that's what we deliver to those who are interested in being saved eternally. Now, doctrine is very important. Whosoever abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. He that abideth not in the doctrine hath not God. That's how important it is. We emphasize doctrine. We need to have more doctrine preached. We need to have people understand what the Bible teaches is right and that which is wrong. We need to impress people with the need of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Now remember, Jesus said the truth shall make you free. And only the truth will save us eternally. Now doctrine is very important. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine." Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine is an important declaration of the Apostle Paul. Now Paul wrote to Timothy and encouraged him to remain faithful to the teaching that he had received. Timothy was not inspired, but Paul was the inspired apostle of Jesus. And Timothy was his protege. Timothy learned what he knew of the gospel. First of all, he had the background of his mother and his grandmother, but then he had the teaching of an inspired man of God. And so when Paul was about to leave this world because of the gospel, remember, he wrote his last recorded letter to this young man. Now, he had reason to do that. He said, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, I charge thee." He's giving him a very solemn charge. The Apostle Paul was facing death. And so he wanted the gospel that he preached to continue to be preached by his protege, Timothy. Now, Timothy was given the charge to preach the gospel to be instant in season and out of season. Not just seasonally, but in season and out of season. In other words, any time, anywhere. He said, "For the time will come and will not endure sound doctrine." I wonder if we're not in that time now. The Bible declared that the devil would be loosed for a little season to deceive the hearts of deceive the nations. I believe we're in that period right now. I believe that the devil has been loosed and laws are being passed to justify and legalize sin. And how long are we going to tolerate that kind of imposition upon the gospel of Jesus Christ? We are to contend earnestly for the faith once delivered to the saints. That is our responsibility as preachers of the gospel and as members of the church, not just gospel preachers, to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And we'll find that in the Bible. The denominations now say that they're losing 65 or 75% of their youth to the world, not to other churches. I wonder how many of our own brethren, our sisters, are vacillating, who are altering views and following the world. When we look back over a span of time, we were not always preaching the gospel in other nations. But that time has come when we've got brethren who are going from place to place and preaching the gospel. The first time that the brethren, our brethren, ever sent a man overseas to preach the gospel was in 1952. I and my wife went to Africa knowing nothing about the country or their customs or where we'd live or what we'd eat. But we went there in answer to a call, an African call to come and help us. And from that time on, that work has continued. It's now called Malawi. And my brethren, other brethren have gone into other parts of the country, other countries in Africa and other places of the world, and preached the gospel. And Jesus predicted, he said, this gospel must be preached in all the world, then cometh the end. I wonder how soon that will be. We have men who make all kinds of sacrifices of time and talent in order to reach people with the gospel. Now, when we preach the gospel, we need to encourage people to ready themselves for that time when Jesus comes again. That's the need of obeying the gospel. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Now remember, the Lord said, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. And so that means that we have to reach a conformance to the gospel of Jesus Christ in its purity and present it in a way that people can understand it and can respond to it. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is thirst come and drink of the water of life freely. And that's the invitation that is extended to those who are lost in sin. And at the end of every lesson, the gospel plan of salvation needs to be pointed out. At home, Stony Point congregation in Kansas City, every time there's a lesson taught, the plan of salvation is mentioned. I don't mean mentioned, I mean it's specifically stated. And we have responses constantly. We've had a number of honest people making confessions of faults and people being baptized in our local congregation because they know what is required of them. I thank you for the time.